through us that the world may believe and be in his family. That is his wish. I learned the reason, by the way, that why this screen is dim. I gave an incorrect explanation last week. I thought the bulb was dying out. In fact, our projector that projects on this screen quit working, and it's away to the hospital to be seen. And it's in a line, what place is it, about place 20 or 15? By now, we hope. There's a lot of hurting projectors around America, and there are people working night and day to get them back online. But in the meantime, we'll just say, if your eyes are sensitive and you can't handle the glare of this screen, please watch this screen. It should be much better for you. Well, we continue in our series of the body of Christ, a body to live for. Truly, the body of Christ that Jesus came to live for and to give his life for, and now he ever lives to intercede for the body of Christ, and the body that he has called us as members, as parts of this body of Christ, to also live for the family that he has called us into, to live for the body that we are a part of. We've been focusing week after week on 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. For as many as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now, I want to quiz you a little bit. So get ready after this next slide. I'm going to quiz you about the different steps that we've been through. But you remember the assurance that we have received from Scripture that we are not talking about something that we should be, we're talking about something that we are. Just like being connected to Christ is not something that Scripture talks to us over and over again as believers about something that should be. It says we are connected to Christ. It says we are forgiven, we are cleansed, we are reconciled, and it calls us to live as ones who are reconciled, as ones who are cleansed, as ones who are forgiven. Just the same, the Scripture says you are the body of Christ, and the call is to live as the body of Christ, one body, fulfilling the prayer that Jesus prayed. And our desire is that we will fulfill it more and more in reality so that we don't have to go around telling the world, oh yes, we are one body, the body of Christ, but the world will see how we function as one and say, why is that? The world will see how we love each other and say, why is that? Fulfilling the prayer of Jesus that they may all be one, just like he and the Father are one. One body, many parts. Now comes the quiz. I'm going to show you pictures. And I want you to think back of what we've talked about and the simple lesson. In every presentation, we've crystallized it into a simple lesson. I want to see if you remember the simple lesson. So, here we have an Adventist World Radio antenna, by the way. The KSGT, or is it KSTG, that's it, antenna over on the right, an eyeball and an ear. What is the lesson? Do you remember? Boy, it's awfully quiet in here. All right. I'll give you two words. You are... Okay, well, they say when kids get bad grades in school that, yes, you should look at the kids and what they can do to get better grades, but they also say that if a lot of kids are getting bad grades, that you need to ask the teacher some questions. So anyway, all right, you are what? You are one. Okay, that's good, but that's not what this is about. You are... Thank you. I will sleep better tonight. You are irreplaceable. You are irreplaceable. And do you remember what comes right after that? Just like everyone else. You are replaceable just like everyone else. That's the lesson of these pictures. So one that maybe seems to have status can't say to the other, I don't need you. And one that feels like it doesn't have status can't be saying to the whole body, since I don't have the status I think I should have, I'm out of here. No, you are irreplaceable just like everyone else. Okay, so I don't even know if I have the courage to go to the next one. Okay, well, I guess I got to face the truth, whatever it is, whatever it is. Okay, anyone remember the simple lesson that's associated with these pictures? Okay, you got the idea. You got the idea. I'm going to have to become one of these preachers who repeats phrases over and over again so that you get it. So that you get the words. Not that the concept, of course, is more important than the words. But here are the words, just in case. What happens to one happens to who? What happens to one happens to all. Whether it's a painful thing or whether it's a wonderful thing, what happens to one happens to all. So, all right, well, we will proceed. Okay, this one actually is a series. So here's this, and here's this. Okay. And then this. And this one, I'm going to comfort myself by saying, is a little bit more challenging. And hopefully that's a comfort to you. I'll ask you a question that might give you the answer. Who knows how this body is supposed to fit together? Who knows where you fit into the body of Christ? Who knows who's in charge? Who's the man? Jesus is the man. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the head. So, you are irreplaceable, just like everyone else. What happens to one happens to all, and Jesus is the man. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the head. Oh yeah, there's one more. Remember these pictures? Okay. And this one that goes with it? This is just a week ago. Summary. Whatever you do, what? I believe in that. But that wasn't the message. I'll give you a clue. We looked through 1 Corinthians 13, the most excellent way. Whatever you do, do it for love. Whatever you do, do it for love. That is the lesson. That is the most excellent way. So whatever your place is in the body of Christ, fulfill that place for love. That's how you make the most of whatever gift God has given you. However you serve, whether it's an apostle, whether it's a helper, whether it's administrator, whether it's a pastor, whether it's a teacher, whatever you do. Yes, in terms of doing your best, do your best. But your best can never come out without love. Because if you are completely competent at administration and do not have love, it is what? Nothing. Though you speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love. What? Nothing. Sounding brass, clanging cymbal. Everything is centered in love. And of course, that would make sense when Jesus said that everything is summarized by love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, with the basic ideas about what the body is, about how the body is supposed to work, who's in charge of the body, and the lifeblood and the pulse of the body being the love of God in Christ Jesus, we're going to ask one more question. This is our final Sabbath of this sermon series. What for? What is this body for? What does God want with this body? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us today. We thank you for giving us yourself. Thank you for giving us Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and each other. That we can be part of your kingdom, part of your family, part of the body of Christ. Oh, speak to us through your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember when I was a kid, and this must have been, I remember being aware of this in the 70s. Seemed like it was around the time we would be watching the Olympics or something like that. And my dad let it be known what his opinion was of bodybuilding. Anyone guess what my dad's opinion might have been of bodybuilding? You don't know my dad, so why should you? My dad didn't think that much of bodybuilding. May I ask the forgiveness of anyone here who's into bodybuilding? But my dad did not think much of bodybuilding. He used terms like muscle bound. And by that he meant that people were working on building up their bodies by working on every little muscle group, not so that they could do anything with them except pose. Impress people. And this kind of thing. And I, putting together the picture of things my daddy told me about, his opinion of bodybuilding, I think it maybe makes sense. I remember him telling a story from when he was at La Sierra. And there was another guy there on campus at La Sierra who was known for working on building his body, lifting the weights, curls with the dumbbells, etc., so that he could sculpt his body into a fine, exquisite piece of art. I think that bugged my dad. And they both, one place where they came head to head was that they both were shot putters in the track and field, and they were vying for the record for shot put. And of course, I think it gave my dad no end of satisfaction that in fact he set the record for shot put at La Sierra. And Jack, that was his name, did not, though Jack could never understand that, because just look at them. Obvious, it was obvious who should win. But my dad did it, 53 feet and something, put that shot. Another story he told me about him and Jack, you can tell it really bugged him, because two stories that came down to me as a young lad. Another story he told about him and Jack was he talked to Jack, and he, my dad had a movie camera. And so he told Jack that he wanted to make a movie, and that Jack would be the star of that movie. And that he just wanted some footage of him doing push-ups, chin-ups, different things like that. And Jack could not resist that. And so, anyway, my dad got his movie camera, and they found the place where they were going to film the footage, and Jack did his push-ups, he did his chin-ups, he did all these different things for my dad, the camera just rolling. And then finally, after the last push-up, my dad looked at Jack and said, "Oh, man, too bad I didn't have any film." I hope you're not taking this personal, Jack. It's not about you. Outside the box. But anyway, so he really got him. And that was the opinion he passed on to me, is that a person's body is not for just building up muscles and stuff to impress people and everything. God gave us bodies to actually do stuff, right? Work and building a house. Take your muscles and build a house. Take your muscles and grow plants and plow the soil and make food, stuff like that. For heaven's sake, take your muscles and hug someone. Don't just work on the body so that we can pose for the world. No, we are the body of Christ, not for show. We are the body of Christ to do what Jesus wants done in the world. You think about your own body. What is your body for? Ultimately, I'm not talking about God's purpose for your body. I'm talking about what is your body for. Your body is to carry out what you want it to do. Isn't that right? Right here in your cranium, the circuits that make who you are and that determine what you want to do and what you plan on doing, it starts here. But if you want to do a great piece of art, you send out the signals where? Through your body, so that your fingers do what they're supposed to do, so that your eyes look where they're supposed to look. Everything, all from the headquarters, all from the head, the body is to do what you want it to do. And isn't it the same with Jesus? The body of Christ is to do what Jesus wants done in this world. And what does Jesus want done in this world? Well, for clues, we might look at what Jesus did himself with his own physical body when he came here to the earth. Wouldn't that be a good idea to look about what Jesus wants done with and through his body in the world? Think of Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, when Jesus kind of gave one of his mission statements, one of his statements of purpose for himself. For the Son of Man has come to what? To seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to go where he needed to go, to do what he needed to do in order to seek and to save that which was lost. We see in Acts, it says that he went about doing good. He used his body to what? To heal people, to help people. He used his lips to speak the good news of the kingdom. In Luke chapter 4, I'd like you to turn there, in fact. You can see Jesus, it got him into trouble, the way he put it, but, in fact, this was one of his mission statements. One of his times, he says, here is what I am here for. Luke 4, verse 18 and 19. You might remember the scene. He was in the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth, in the church service, essentially. And he got up to read the scripture. And what did he read? He read his mission statement. He read his purpose for what he was to do in the world. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Do you think that mission of Jesus ended when he ascended to heaven? Do you think Jesus no longer wants the gospel to be preached to the poor? Do you think Jesus no longer wants the brokenhearted to be healed? Do you think Jesus is happy now for captives to stay in captivity? Do you think he's okay with the blind remaining blind, whether you're talking spiritually or physically? Do you think he's okay with oppressed people having freedom elude them constantly? Do you think he still wants to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord? I believe it. And he has ascended to heaven. And he has sent his Spirit, which is why we call these things that we receive, the abilities that he gives us, spiritual gifts. He has sent his Spirit to mobilize his body to continue to do the same things, to proclaim good news to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, to physically help people who are hurting and broken, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and to proclaim freedom for those who are oppressed. Where else does Jesus dream for his church? John chapter 17, where we find his prayer that we've been quoting and over and over and over again, where he says that they may be one as you and I are one. Why does he want us to be one? Why does he want us to manifest this unity, this love? You may remember what he said to his disciples. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. Why? Because we have love for one another. Why does he say he wants to have us be one? Strength in numbers. Look down in verse 20 and 21. Look in verse 20 and 21. I'll read verse 20 for you. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. I'll even go partway through 21. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also may be one in us, that. Now, I won't read that part. Have you found it? What does it say? That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. That the world may believe that you sent me to seek and to save that which is lost, to proclaim liberty for the captives, to preach the gospel to the poor, that the world may believe that God the Father sent Jesus. Do you see the common denominator? Help in the now and salvation forever. That's why the body of Christ exists. Help in the now and salvation forever. That's why we are here. That's what this body is for. And you know what's funny about it? There is a display aspect to it. You know, I made kind of fun vicariously with my dad and everything about bodybuilders because all they do is for display and not to actually get something done. But in the body of Christ, there actually is a display element, isn't it? Because between you here and the other members of this family who are out in the community and gone on trips, wherever they are, between us here in this body of Christ, He does want the world to see what love really is. He does want the world to see a family that takes care of each other. A family where what happens to one truly does happen to all. And as you're talking to your friends who may not be in the body of Christ and tell something caring that happened to you because you're part of the body of Christ, then they're saying, really? It's like that? They really care about you like that? And I can hear some of you in your heart saying, man, I wish I could say that about my church family. Where does that start? God's talking to you about how our church family should be, and I pray that He has through the messages that we've shared about caring one another. If God's talking to you about how things should be in our church family, He's talking about it to you for a reason, because He wants you to start. He wants you to start being that way. He wants you to be the one that makes sure that when something happens to someone else, that they're not going through it alone. That someone, when someone else is destitute and doesn't know where to turn, that you're the one who turns to them because they're family. Because what happened to them just happened to you. This is what God is saying. He wants the world to see what His love is like. It's interesting. I read some history in a book called The Celtic Way of Evangelism. Very interesting book. About how the gospel was spread in Ireland. You know what they do? At the same time, it seems so out there and so insular in a way. The Christians, a group of them, would be sent a calling to go to one of the villages in the Irish countryside. And we're talking about before 1000 AD, I think, or shortly thereafter. And they would identify the village that they felt that God was sending them to, and then they would go establish a village right next to it. Typical Christians. Don't want to get contaminated by the heathens. Well, you know how it would work? They would establish a village right next to the pagan village, we'll call it. And in that village, they would grow their food around it. They would take care of each other. And they would demonstrate the love of Christ in how they lived as a family. And anyone who came along and said, I want to be part of that, come on in. Of course, they got outside their village and they talked to people about Jesus and that kind of thing. But when someone wanted to be part of what they were doing, their arms were open. They didn't say, you have to be a Christian to be in here. No. Their arms were open, and they let the people live among them, and they showed them what it was like to be part of a family that takes care of each other, that loves each other. And the more they asked, why is it this way? Of course, they couldn't escape the words in the presence of Jesus in that group of believers, followers of Jesus. And people came to Christ because they could see on display in the family of God what the love of Jesus does in people and between people. And their heart's desire was to be part of that. And so they did. So there is a display aspect to it. An aspect of taking care of each other, loving each other in a way that the world can see the love of Christ personified. But of course, it's a love that cannot be contained within this body. It's a love that has to go out. It's a love that, because it's the love of Christ, so loves the world that it would do whatever it takes to reach the world, right? So we are called, what for? To show the world the love of Christ in the way that we are the body of Christ together, but we are also called to take the love of Jesus to the world. To give His message of good news, of salvation, of righteousness by faith. To give His message of even warning about the things that are about to take place before the coming of Jesus. To give His message of having Jesus as Lord and Savior to the world. We are called to do that. To be the love and to take the love to the world. To be the body of Christ. What was the ultimate thing that Jesus did with His body? What was the ultimate thing that He did with His body? On the cross, He gave it all. God has called us together to love each other and to love the world so much that we would do whatever it takes, whatever it costs. Had a weird thought. If we knew that somehow by getting rid of this building we could bring all of Lodi to Jesus, would we do that? Would we call together the church board, have a church family business meeting and say, let's do it? Would it not feel right? Would it be something, no, can't mean that. And by the way, just so you know, I am not bringing this as a word of the Lord to you. I don't believe that God is calling us to get rid of this building. But He might someday. This is just, it's just like when, you know, what the federal government does to test banks. You know, they put together a scenario that would tax their financial resources to see if they could handle the responsibility that they have to care for people's money without losing it. This is kind of a test question to ask ourselves. And we can ask ourselves these questions personally about different things that are important in our lives and ask ourselves the same question. If it meant the salvation of your children, would you go homeless tomorrow? If it meant the salvation of your children, would you do that? That's a test question of where your heart is. And it's not meant to make you feel guilty. It's meant to make you hear the Lord and go say, yes, Lord, I am surrendered to You. But it's not just you and you and you being surrendered. It's we as the body of Christ being surrendered too. To be what He's called us to do, which is to love each other and love the people of our community and bring them to Jesus. As we close, I would like you to say some words with me as a commitment. And just like our choir teacher used to have us stand when we practiced so that we could sing from the tips of our toes all the way up through. If you want to fulfill Jesus' dream for the body of Christ and be a part of that, I'd invite you to stand. And we are going to read. This is just condensed from the passages that we've been looking at, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you can agree with this, and if your heart is in it, I would invite you to say these things with me. And let us begin. We are the body of Christ. There are many of us, yet one body. And God has set each of us in the body just as He pleased. And if one of us suffers, all of us suffer with it. Or if one of us is honored, all of us rejoice together. And I forgot we. Now we are the body of Christ. Yes, we are the body of Christ. And like Jesus, whatever we do, we will do for love. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we have the privilege of being your hands and feet and all the other parts in between for you, for each other, and for the world that we live in. Oh, Father, when we think about what you have done, Jesus, with your own physical body to demonstrate love, we know that we don't have what it takes. We know how easy it is for us to be busy with our own lives and concerns and to forget about each other, let alone the world. Oh, Father, we need you. We need your Holy Spirit poured out now. We need your Holy Spirit to fill us now. We need the power of your grace to infuse us and to fill us with joy and love that is irrepressible so that we can be the people that you called us to be. So that we can care for each other like you've called us to. So that we can, with sacrificing whatever it takes, reach the people in our community with your love. The people in our neighborhoods, in our lives who don't know you. Father, here we are, your body, broken as we are, messed up as we are, but looking for you, seeking you as we are. We thank you, just like for each one of us. You have said that whoever comes to you, you will in no wise cast out. That as we come to you together, as this local part of the body of Christ, that we, coming to you, you will in no wise, in no way cast out, but that you will welcome us with open arms, that you will receive us and do everything that you have asked us to do through us. Your biddings are your enablings. And Father, I pray for anyone here who doesn't even feel like they could even be part of your family, doesn't even feel like they could be part of your body. I pray that today, that the love of Jesus will melt all of those barriers, all of that sense of lostness and inferiority and shame, and replace it with forgiveness and love and welcome. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want someone to pray with after the service to make sure that you are accepted with Jesus, I ask an elder to be in each corner up here, and they are ready to do that for you. For all of us, you are the body of Christ. Let us live as what we are.